Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're all getting through the week.
Starting nice.
You know what I mean?
I'm feeling good.
Hope y'all had a restful weekend. I definitely did. I'm trying to center for all those that can't. I watched a bunch of horror movies.
I know.
Netflix is kind of letting us down a little bit.
However, I feel like I start giving some of my horror movie recommendations.
There's this movie called Sweetheart.
It's on Netflix.
Phenomenal.
Very basic.
Very basic.
Storyline is very simple.
Very simple.
But it's just so.
It's not slow.
Even though not much happens.
I know I'm not selling it. Trust me, not much happens, but it's not slow.
Basic story, yet it really grips you.
A few things happen, very scary.
And I love that.
You don't need all the CGI and a lot of gore for it to be a phenomenal movie.
The island shots are absolutely stunning, and the female actress is so rad.
I just like seeing a female-centric character.
So anyway, check that out.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
I'll keep you abreast of all the other good horror movies.
Netflix usually doesn't do it for me.
Also, Invisible Man.
I had started that with Moss's new movie, and then it really got good. So for the horror fans, check that out if you haven't already.
I thought some of the scenes were kind of
A new way of doing things.
And she's just a phenomenal actress as well.
So anyway, check that out. Question of the night, as always, it's up on our Loveline IG story.
Also, hope you're checking out my new live stream show on Thursday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Eastern.
And you can check out all the past episodes on Radio.com, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
And celebrities, intersections of mental health, music.
Good stuff.
All right, let's talk about Pride Month. We're going to be in it for a while. Pride Month actually keeps going until about the fall, depending on what city or country you live in.
But in service of Pride, a bunch of people came out as gay.
Welcome to the LGBTQIA family. I'm so glad that we're more able to come out.
And the beauty of celebrities coming out is that it normalizes.
It not only normalizes because it makes people familiar with some gay, because there's some individuals who live in communities or towns where they don't know anything about anyone in the LGBTQIA community, so it's very easy for them to have some bias or stereotype or to other.
But celebrities, we often feel we have an actual relationship with them.
And that's why we mourn their loss, because our time with them and watching them act is a form of a relationship.
It really is. And so when they come out as gay, it makes us aware of someone who's gay.
It also sometimes, if we knew them prior to finding that out,
we are forced to accept that someone I care about actually likes and enjoys gay, and that creates a needed working through.
But it also starts to make it safer because it's in the news and people get hearing about it.
But again, the bigger goal is to get out of the closet. No one else has to come out of it.
If we stopped assuming straight and the world around heterosexuality, no one would have to come out. So that's actually the worst. But let's welcome some family.
We've got DJ Spencer Brown, familiar with him, Snowboarders Jill Perkins, Chad Unger, and Kennedy Deck.
Love people coming out from the sports world.
Also, fans of Orange is the New Black, Taylor Schilling, she's the lead star, or was. The story is now more centered on the people of color and the black actresses and actresses.
So that's great. But Taylor, her and her girlfriend, really adorable pictures.
Also from the show Fleabag.
I haven't seen that yet, but I've heard really good things about it.
Ben Aldridge has come out as gay.
Curious to see how that will impact careers.
Right now, though, I think we're at the best time when maybe it doesn't have to.
And of course, last but not least, Nikki Bronski from Hairspray.
I never knew Taylor Schilling, Nikki Bronski especially. I never had any sense of that. But also that's because I tend to assume everyone's gay.
I don't really think in those terms, but I was holding that as a possibility for somebody nearby or trans or gender nonconforming,
until they tell me.
I think that's the really loving, accepting, supportive stance.
I'll make no assumptions and I'll reference people and say, hey, do you have a boyfriend or girlfriend?
For some people, it's very shocking.
Well, why would you assume? I assume nothing, actually.
That's why I hold space for it to be of all genders.
It's also a very welcoming stance.
When people see your gender presentation and they ask you a question that's the opposite gender, or someone presents as female, they say, oh, do you have a boyfriend?
That actually communicates you're going to need to come out.
Or someone says, oh, do you have a boyfriend or girlfriend or a partner?
That communicates, I assume nothing.
I'm not reinforcing the
force in the closet.
I'm holding space for who they are, communicating that.
You're not just educating them, but that you're safe. So more of that.
Make no assumptions. Stop using gender terms.
And assumptions about gay or straight.
So ask them more inclusive-based questions.
It's a loving act because for some people, they've had bad experiences, it's never been safe.
And if you want to have a true relationship with someone, allow them to be able to themselves around you. It's also called being a good friend, a good partner, a good employer. Yeah, non-assumptive questions that are wide open. That's how we kind of start to tackle that. All right, coming up next, talking about performative allyship. Now we're going to see a lot of that at Times Prime Time, and it's not to call out that. It's also to support companies how to do better. So we're talking about that next. So we're talking about that next. Coming up next on Love Us Until Love Line. Dr. Chris on a new channel, Q&A on radio.com.
All right, we're back. Question of the night. It's up on our Love Line IG. So weigh in on that. All right, so here's the talk. We're in Pride Month, and you're going to start to see a lot of organizations and businesses slapping rainbow pride flags on stuff like t-shirts, et cetera, as a way to make money, you know, capitalizing on Pride Month. And allyship, being an ally or a supporter of the gay community means always, always being aware that gay people exist, always supporting them. If you only show up during Pride Month, you're just performing it. You're faking it. You're doing it when it looks best. You're doing it just to look good. You're doing it just to make money. What really shows whether or not you're a good ally is, are you always considering that you have gay shoppers or employees? Are you always celebrating that? Do you have gay people that are in positions of power? Like that's actually the biggest piece. Same thing with what's going on right now in the Black Lives Matter movement. People are posting things, putting up signs, and that's cool. But have you always done that? Will you move forward, continue to do that? Will you look around and realize, do we have Black people in positions of power? I want you to look around. Do we have trans or gay people in positions of power? Do we support them? Are we a safe space for them? Or do we only do it right now? And is that going to fade off? Because it really matters what you did before and after Pride Month. I ignore what companies are doing during it. Like, great, you're in the parade. Yay. Great, you're selling a really expensive bougie t-shirt. But what were you doing last month? And what are you doing a month from Pride? Like, that's where it's shown whether or not you're really in the fight and care, or if you're just trying to fake it. And another term you're going to hear more of is what they call woke washing. It's people faking being woke. And it's basically when a corporation, an institution, or a person, right, they do something that's supposed to communicate.
All right.
I'm an advocate.
Back. Question of the night. Social on cause.
Love Line IG.
But it's all about profits.
So weigh in on
and
that.
And capitalizing, taking advantage of that.
All right. This
so here's
the
talk.
Where
we're in
a new commercial came out for
and you start
company.
To see a lot of organizations
and it was so
and
body positive.
Slapping rainbow pride
just looked at the commercial.
Like
t-shirts.
Larger bodied fat girl dancing in her underwear.
She's loving her life, eating her ice
capitalizing on
just not caring what she looks like.
And just being content, searching for joy,
being an ally.
Eating her food, so happy.
Ally or supporter of the gay community.
She's not worrying about the calories or the weight. She's just enjoying life and
being aware of the gay.
Then it turns out it's
always
a diet
ice cream.
Only show up during Pride Month.
That's woke washing.
You're just
Don't care about it.
You're doing
you're
it.
Actually taking
you're doing
advantage
it when it looks best. You're doing it just to look
on this
good.
Buzzword.
You're doing it just to make money.
And this movement
what
of
really
body
shows
positivity.
Whether or not you're a good ally.
And you're doing it to perform.
Are you always
to pretend to be better.
Gay
but you're actually selling diet ice cream, which keeps people
are
trapped in the idea that we can't eat things with
calories
or
fat
in it. That our worth and value is tied to our body size.
Do you
shape,
have gay
and
people
that
are in positions
of
power?
And so shame on
like
shame on all the companies.
That's actually the biggest piece.
Faking
with the terms they're using and the Black Lives Matter movement
and our capitalizing
people
on Pride,
are
Black
posting
Lives
things
matter,
and they're not really
in signs
the
and that's cool
because we're watching and we're more sophisticated.
Have you always done that?
Will
people like
me
continue
are
do that?
Call you out?
Will you look around and realize
and so,
do we have Black people?
Halo ice cream
power?
Do better.
That's crap.
Do we have trans
companies again that have
Pride rainbow shirts?
Do we support
the
them?
Parade? But there's no gay people.
Are we a safe space for them?
Or do
and
we only do it right
only
now?
Feature straight?
Is that
going
to fade off?
And they don't
because it really matters what you did before and after.
And they don't support their gay.
I ignore what companies are doing during it.
Like great, you're in the parade. Yay! Great, you're selling a really expensive bougie t-shirt.
But what
power
last month
and what are you
our
doing
money and our spending habits are what
like that's where we
what
it's
will
shown
whether or not
changes.
You're really in the
stop
fight and
spending
care
your money
and
supporting companies that don't support
and
you
and another term you're going to hear more
if
is
the companies
called,
that you're buying from
woke
don't
washing.
Have people that look like
it's people
you,
faking being
there
woke.
Supported
and it's basically
in
when a corporation an institution or a person
go to the companies that
right?
do because there's a lot
they
of companies
that are supposed to
woken up and they're advocate.
A lot of changes.
Historically, they might not have been great, but they learned.
But it's all about
profits. And I'm here for that. We all need to learn.
And they're capitalizing, taking advantage of that.
I was not born knowing. This happened over the weekend.
I had to keep my eyes and my ears open,
came out for an ice cream company,
and sit down.
And it was so body positive.
And so I'm okay with companies trying to be better.
Larger body fat girl dancing.
Does the company have advertisements that feature
people that are fat?
Just not caring what she looks like.
Or gay.
Just being content.
Do they have people working there that are fat or black?
So happy.
Do they have people in positions of power making the important decisions that are fat,
about the calories or
trans, weight,
you know,
just like
enjoying
if
life.
The,
and
if their
food.
Company doesn't
then
reflect
it turns
you back,
out it's
then they're
for
not
a
there
diet
for
ice cream.
And I want the companies
that's
to be inspired
woke
by this
segment.
To say,
don't
look around and do better.
You're actually
that change,
taking advantage,
right?
And I mean, there's a lot of companies that are finally trying to shift
and
towards
this,
that.
This
that's
movement,
great, but it can't be about the money
because that's when
it's faker performance.
That means when the money isn't there, you'll stop.
But you're actually selling diet ice cream.
It can't be about
people trapped in the idea
that we can't eat things with calories or fat that are worth and value is tied to our body size or shape.
Right?
And that that
we don't
crap
want to
still
weaponize
matters.
It.
And so
shame
on you.
Shame on
all
the companies.
We're trying to say, hey, we
noticed with the terms
there's
using
a flaw in your
plan and your design.
And are
you're
capitalizing
people
on pride
do better.
And Black Lives Matter.
And hopefully they'll say, thank
really
you for caring enough to call me in.
Because we're watching
and
that
and we're more sophisticated and smart. People like me are going to call you out.
That was a bummer.
I'm so excited about that.
Halo Ice Cream do better.
And then
people
wrote in
companies again
that
have these Pride Rainbow shirts.
And then I did. I was like,
there's no gay people.
They have some vegan ice creams, which is great.
Their commercials only feature straight people.
It's very
and they don't donate money.
Against
and
animals.
They do nothing,
it's,
and they don't support their gay employees.
It's quite brutal.
In any way.
So
like,
that's
where
it matters, and that's what counts.
That commercial
and
is so
sadly,
rad.
So the commercial
but
shows you how it should look.
Our money
just
and our spending habits are what
can grow into
what will
care.
Help make these changes.
Because
stop
culture
spending
man.
Your money and supporting
it should
companies
be about how
don't
you
support
feel.
You.
It should be about
if the companies that you're buying from
or
don't have
body shape
people
size,
that look like
you,
know you
mean?
Working
so
there, supported,
anyway, we'll keep talking about
the power in the commercials.
Mental health.
Go to the companies that do because there's a lot of companies that are woken up
and they're making a lot of changes.
Historically, they might not have been great, but they learned.
And I'm here for that. We all need to learn.
I did not. I was not born.
Issues
have
to
be dismantled.
I had to keep
my
eyes
and
my
ears
open
to victimize
and listen
to
do the
sit down when I was
told
I was doing something wrong.
So we got to keep asking.
So I'm okay with companies trying to be better.
All right, coming up next, we're going to be doing some COVID updates.
Does the company have advertisements that feature people that are fat?
This thing is not done.
Black,
it has not resolved itself. We still need to be aware.
Do they have people working there?
So we're
going to
come up with some new COVID updates. You're listening to
Love
Line. Positions of power making new
channel
decisions that are fat, black, or gay, or trans. Are the you know like if their company doesn't reflect you back?
All right, we're back and now some.
And I want the company
COVID talk. That's right.
Got to talk about some stuff
come
up
came out
last week and over the weekend,
right?
I mean, there's
and,
a lot of companies
scary
that
stuff.
Are finally
so
trying
first
to shift
off,
towards that.
God
that's
bless.
Great.
But it can't be about the
he
money.
Is, he's the man
because
with
that's
the
when
it's and
he basically
because
says when the money isn't there, you'll stop doing it.
And it can't be about that.
Ready for this
about
one?
More than that. And so I'm so
if we
glad
go up to
100,000
cases
and putting their
a
ethics
day,
in check and getting
if
checked,
this does not
right?
turn around.
We don't want to weaponize.
And again, he's the director of the National
take
Institute
people
for Allergy
out.
And Infectious Diseases.
We're trying to
he's
say, hey, we noticed
the president and his
there's
cabinet.
A flaw in your
they're not
plan
even
your
smart
design.
Enough to wear masks.
You're harming people.
Those
do
idiots.
Better.
And they're putting other people
in harm. And hopefully they'll say thank you for caring enough to call me
up to 100,000 cases
and have a conversation. And we'll see what they do. Right?
This
so that was a bummer. I was so excited about that.
We're also talking about those
and then people wrote in saying, hey,
after
okay, deeper,
those returning
then
to certain
I did,
cities,
I was like, ah, they also
after traveling from
they have some vegan ice creams,
states,
which is great. I don't
should
support
quarantine.
Dairy.
Like, we're still saying
it's
that.
Very,
it's not just
violence against
like,
animals.
There are cities
it's
taking that have such
you know,
high numbers
brutal.
Of infections.
So
if you've
that's
been
upsetting.
There, when you get
but,
home,
the
commercial
was so
socially
rad.
Responsible.
So the commercial
thing
shows
to do,
you how it's
to self quarantine.
I just want the
and those cities ready for this are Alabama,
Arkansas, toxic man,
Arizona.
It should be about
Florida,
how do you feel,
Georgia.
It should be about counting
Iowa,
calories,
Louisiana, Mississippi, Nevada, North Carolina, South Carolina,
you know
Tennessee,
so,
Texas,
hey, wait,
Utah, and California.
Stuff? Because that's
that is a long
health,
list.
Feeling included.
Feel
respect,
the gravity.
Health is
about
making
these
systems.
We need to be responsible. We shouldn't be traveling.
I'm sorry.
That make us.
I see these people that are still getting together for family vacations and birthday. Parties
have
and events.
To be dismantled.
We
it's
are
not
in
on
a pandemic.
People
are
dying.
I
personally know people that have died.
So we got to keep
this is real. This is not a hoax, y'all.
All right, coming up next,
worse.
We're going to be
it's
doing
not getting
some
better.
COVID
the
United
updates.
States is
a
now
lot keeps happening.
By far,
this thing is not done. It has not resolved itself.
The
we still
highest
need to be aware.
Geographic location.
So we're
going to
come up with some new COVID updates. You're listening to
Loveline
with Dr. Chris on the new channel.
Ready for this one?
Radio.com.
So sit with this. The UA has barred American travelers from coming into Europe. Because they're basically saying anyone coming from a high-risk place, like the United States, we get censored and called out. And there can this just got passed over the weekend. They're like, we're not letting y'all in. And I get it. I support that. That makes sense. Because we're not following protocol. And we have such high rates of infection that we're not safe.
Now, we were happily opening up things, but now they're all getting shut down. Here, the governor, Newsom, here in California, has shut down the bars again, bars and clubs. Arizona, they're going to close bars, gyms, and theaters because the coronavirus infections are spiraling there out of control. So the Arizona governor announced that theaters, all that stuff, shutting down. They're still having limits on gatherings. We're not sure what's going to happen with school. You guys, this breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. Also, there's a list that's out. This is from the New York Post, that some high-end New York City hotels have not been changing sheets or wiping down surfaces. Like, I'm looking at this article. I'm not going to name any names. Do your research. But what's going on? They busted in with some UV lights. This is horrifying. Like, this is really disturbing stuff. And we're still seeing these videos of people throwing hissy fits, like dysregulated children, around the fact that they're being asked to wear a mask. Yes, wear a mask. Yes, we want you to protect others. And no, the coronavirus face mask does not limit your oxygen intake. That's been shown. That's been proven. Is it annoying? Sure. But I want us to be willing to be annoyed in service of taking care of and protecting other people. Like, it's ridiculous that people are throwing the hissy fits that they're throwing because of the fact that they've been asked to wear a mask. Now, I was looking at an interesting article and I thought that this was hilarious. This is from Scientific American. And they're saying that the mask is now the condom of the face. Now, that's funny. And when we talk about it in terms of protective measures, but what the article was really looking at was that how for male identified people, they're the ones that traditionally aren't fans of using or wearing safer sex practices like condoms. And they're saying, not shockingly, that there's also a high rate, and we've talked about this on the last segment, of men who won't wear masks because they don't think that they look masculine wearing one. I think there's nothing more empowered and masculine. I don't like the word masculine. I'm not going to use it. I don't think there's anything more empowering than someone wearing a mask. It says, I care. It says, I don't care how it looks. Also, a friend of the show, Lisa Guerra, she's a journalist. She was putting a post out telling about how she was hiking and a bunch of young girls were like, why are you wearing a mask while hiking? And she said to them, why are you not? And they actually said, because we don't feel like we look pretty in it. We are at a time when people have such high vanity that they will not wear a mask to protect themselves and other people because they don't look pretty, because we still think our goal is to always look pretty. It's okay if you don't look pretty. You have worth and value outside of that. Our desirability should not be what's centered in our lives and our life's decision, but it is. Nor should our toxic masculinity.
All right, we're back. Centered now for some
COVID talk. That's right. Got to talk about it. Some stuff came out last week and over the weekend.
These numbers are astronomical.
And this is scary stuff. So first off,
and all the same rules still apply. Let's go over them again.
Wear a mask. He's the man with the plan.
Always.
And he basically says he wouldn't
outdoors
be
only.
Surprised.
Limited periods of time.
Dun, 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 dun.
6 feet ready plus away
one?
From people. Wash
if we
your
go
hands.
Up to 100,000 cases a day.
And it's really heartbreaking
if this
to see these people
around.
Battling it and fighting it.
And again, he's the director of the National Institute
others.
For Allergy and Infectious
Literally
Disease.
Literally
the man
attacking
we're listening to.
Them.
Not the president and his cabinet.
Asked to wear
They're
a
not
mask.
Even smart enough to wear masks.
It hurts my soul when I look at the collective mental health.
But he's saying he wouldn't be surprised up to
because that's really what we're being called upon
is to regulate ourselves,
take
care and compassion for others.
People.
We're also
anyway,
talking about
yeah, let's do better.
Let's do better. And I want you to put
after
those,
okay,
you
those returning to certain cities
after traveling.
I'm okay
from
with some healthy shaming.
Some people
should
say
self quarantine.
Going to work.
Like, we're
I
still saying
that.
It's not just
in topics
like,
around. This.
There are cities
again, let's
that have
better.
Such
let's
high numbers
let's
of infections
be together.
That if you've
let's
been
continue
there,
to care
when you get
about
home,
those around
the socially responsible thing to do is to self quarantine.
I want this COVID thing resolved as much as everyone else does.
Alabama.
Trust me. I want my life back. I want to get back out in the world.
Arizona.
But again, we can't do that unless we all really
Georgia,
focus on
Iowa,
the rules.
Louisiana, Mississippi,
the
Nevada,
are,
North Carolina,
listen,
South Carolina, Tennessee,
shaming each other,
Texas,
but I
Utah,
do
and California.
Us weighing in
that
on
is a long
and
list.
Trying to have conversations.
Feel
with friends
the gravity
and families,
of that long list.
You know, and those around us
we
that just
need
aren't
to
really
be responsible. We shouldn't be traveling.
Follow
I'm
the
sorry.
Rules.
So
I see these people
look around
that
at your friends,
still getting
together,
together
family members,
have those difficult conversations,
events.
Have those hard to have
we
talks
are
because
in
again,
pandemic,
we're all in this
people
together.
Are dying. I
and,
personally know people that have died.
We want our lives back.
This
so
is real.
We're going to keep talking about
hope,
that. More,
it's
more
getting
tips,
worse.
Tricks,
it's
and
not
thoughts
getting
on
better.
COVID.
The United States
you're listening
is
to Loveline with Dr. Chris
by
on the
far,
new channel
astronomical.com.
The highest geographic location with numbers of infections.
Sliding into the DMs.
Ready for this one?
Sliding into
so
DMs is brought to you by our
sit with this. The UA has barred American travelers
we want you to
from coming into
Here
Europe
we go.
Because
Chris,
they're basically saying anyone coming from a high-risk place, like the United States, we get censored and called out. And this just got
and
passed
really hate to say this,
over the weekend.
They're, kind of
they're like,
nerves.
We're not letting y'all in.
Like
and I get it. I support that.
Fuse.
That makes sense. Because we're not following protocol. We have such high rates of infection that we're not safe.
We need to get get we out were, of
we were happily first opening off, up things, but now they're all getting shut down. Here, the governor, Newsom here in California, has shut down the bars again, bars and clubs.
That's normal.
Arizona,
that's
they're going to close bars, gyms,
especially
and theaters
when we
because
them,
the coronavirus infections right now, are spiraling there out of control. So the Arizona governor announced that theaters, all that stuff, shut down.
Knowing that,
they're still having limits on gatherings. I'm not sure what's going to happen with school.
I'm being thoughtful about how much time I'm staying around.
You guys, this breaks my heart.
And I'm also taking a break away when I'm feeling myself getting overwhelmed. And that's
also, there's a list that's out. This is from the New York City, the New York Post, that some high-end New York City hotels have not been changing sheets or wiping down surfaces. Like, I'm looking at this article. I'm not going to name any names. Do your research. But
you can't say
what's going on. They busted it with some UV lights. This is horrifying. Like, this is really disturbing stuff.
You got to do better.
We're still seeing these videos of people throwing hissy fits,
and I don't know that you have to
like dysregulated children around the fact that they're being asked to wear a mask. Yes, so wear a mask.
The question is,
yes, we want you to protect others. And no, the coronavirus face mask does not limit your oxygen intake. That's been shown. That's been proven. Is it annoying? Sure, but I want us to be willing to be annoyed in service of taking care of and protecting other people. Like, it's ridiculous that people are throwing the hissy fits that they're throwing because of the fact that they've been asked to wear a mask. Now, I was looking at an interesting article, and I thought that this was hilarous. This is from Scientific American, and they're saying that the mask is now the condom of the face.
Very differently. Or for
now, that's funny.
And
when we talk about it in terms of protective measures, but what the article is really looking at was that how for male-identified people, they're the ones that traditionally aren't fans of using or wearing safer sex practices like condoms. And they're saying, not shockingly, that there's also a high rate, and we've talked about this in the last segment, of men who won't wear masks because they don't think that they look masculine wearing one. I think there's nothing more empowered and masculine. I don't like
buy more
mask
video games. Rent some more
I don't think there's anything
let
more empowering
outside,
than someone wearing a mask. It says I care. It says I don't care how it looks. Also, a friend of the show, Lisa Guerra, she's a journalist. She was putting a post out telling about how she was hiking. And a bunch of young girls were like, why are you wearing a mask while hiking? And she said to them, why are you not? And they actually said, because we don't feel like we look pretty in it. We are at a time when people have such high vanity that they will not wear a mask to protect themselves and other people because they don't look pretty, because we still think our goal is to always look pretty. It's okay if you don't look pretty. You have worth and value outside of that. Our desirability should not be what's centered in our lives and our life's decision. But it is. Nor should our toxic masculinity be centered in our decision making around whether or not we wear a mask and we're willing to infect our family and our friends. These numbers are astronomical, and this is not a hoax, and this is not a joke. And all the same rules still apply. Let's go over them again. Wear a mask.
Don't give yourself a pass.
Always.
The impact
outdoors
of
only,
time now
limited
count,
periods of time,
matter, but,
6 feet plus away from people,
again,
wash your hands, bam,
there's a lot of
it's not that hard.
That,
and it's really heartbreaking to see
kids,
these people battling it and fighting it, but more importantly, attacking others, literally attacking them and throwing hissy fits when asked to wear a mask. If you, it hurts my soul when I look at the collective mental health of the people in our culture, because that's really what we're being called upon, is to regulate ourselves, to have care and compassion for other people.
Now's the time for us to go old school.
So, anyway, yeah, let's do better. Let's do better. And I want you to put those around you that aren't following the rules in check.
I'm trying to learn.
I'm okay with some healthy shaming. Some people say shaming is not going to work. I think it can sometimes in topics around this. So, but again, let's do better. Let's do better. Let's be in this together. Let's continue to care about how we impact those around us. Like, that's mental health. Look, I want this COVID thing resolved as much as everyone else does. Trust me, I want my life back. I want to get back out in the world. But again, we can't do that unless we all really focus on following the rules. We all know what the rules are. And listen, I don't want us shaming each other, but I do support us weighing in on and trying to have conversations with friends and families, you know, and those around us that just aren't really following the rules. So look around at your friends, look around at your family members, have those difficult conversations, have those hard-to-have talks, because again, we're all in this together.
So much to do,
and if nothing else, man, we want our lives back. So we're going to keep talking about that. More tips, tricks, and thoughts on COVID. You're listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and on radio.com.
Sex a world, and we want you to explore with confidence. Question of the night, it's up on our Love Line IG page, so weigh in on that. We'll be breaking that on down.
You are listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and on radio.com. All right, we're back, and I want to talk about loneliness. And it's interesting, you know, I was kind of looking at my own journey the past couple of days and thinking about how some of us work in professions, especially those like myself that are psychologists, and we work in the mental health world. And it's often really hard for us to allow ourselves to sometimes acknowledge and feel certain feelings. And when I have those really beautifully humanizing moments, it reminds me that it has to be even more difficult for a lot of other individuals. We walk around with these different labels and identities in the world, and they often come with a lot of expectations about competence and thriving and resilience. And again, that can be very dehumanizing because we're all humans first. Whether we're a parent or a boss or a teacher or a therapist, we're still a human first, and we still have a right to feel a full range of human emotions. But sometimes, and I see this most often in my office with parents, they believe that their job is to be better than certain things, better than certain struggles, better than certain behaviors, better than certain emotional states. And mental health is about feeling all your feelings. And we've talked about toxic positivity, right? Which is the idea that you should always look on the bright side, stay positive. The world is what you create. You're in charge of your thoughts. Well, that's partly true, but we are at the mercy of what is said to us, and we should care what people think and say about us. Otherwise, we become sociopaths and narcissists.
All right, we're back. Empathy. Time to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding into DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sex world. You know, we want you to explore confidence. Here we go. It's your Dr. Chris. I'm finding it more and more difficult
to mitigate that impact.
Entertain my larger point is, and I really hate to say this, but they're kind of getting on my nerves. I feel like my temper has a super short views.
It's not their fault.
As a boss, but everyone in the house is losing it. How can I apologize, but address the issue at hand?
We need to get out of this house.
First off, it's okay to have stress or frustration with those.
And that's something we have to consider and think about.
Because again, especially some professions and identities, in some cases right now, around the clock.
It's exhausting. It's hard. It's difficult.
We are all burning on short fuses, I feel to myself.
But knowing that,
taking a lot of deep breaths,
I'm doing a lot of self-care again, and thinking about loneliness,
about how much time I'm staying around certain people, and I'm also taking a break away when I'm feeling myself getting overwhelmed.
And that's the work of being a good parent, a good partner, a good human being, a good boss, a good employee.
When you're feeling yourself getting overwhelmed, you put things on pause and say, "I'm going to take."
And I'll work with clients that will talk about having
to be more regulated than your children
doing something. You can't say
you can't expect better behavior from your children than you're willing to model.
They feel shame about that,
you know, out
and often the work with them is on
you got to do better, but know that
or have them. Think care for yourself.
This is a very hard time.
Been led to and I don't know that you have to entertain that.
I think it's okay to let some
because some people
be
are lower
to themselves.
So more
the question is, they're getting on your nerves.
I get it.
I tend to socialize one on one.
You have to work
larger
on.
Groups
there's
don't
no
allow the capacity
for
deep
relationships.
That is you learning
to
how to check in with your
person.
Body. And when you feel yourself getting stressed or overloaded,
so I prefer
and
hang
not comfortable with how you're going to
talk.
So I have deeper intimacy and closeness.
That is a life's work.
Hiking.
There's no quick fix for
to the movie.
People always
want
to know
to theater,
to the beach, whatever it is. But I like to go
track ourselves.
We aware of ourselves,
so we
learn
how
to regulate ourselves,
and
know what our triggers are,
where
avoid
the larger
walk
the
into
number,
them very differently,
the more superficial,
or if we're feeling overwhelmed, call it out. Hey everyone, I'm having a really hard day.
Will be.
Just want to let y'all know,
not
let myself off the hook, but I'm going to do my best to be as present as possible.
Closeness is intimacy,
and maybe people
not.
Can help you with that.
And so
but,
being around those people all weekend can sometimes provide
throw some toys at them, put some movies on,
but my larger
let them go outside.
And I say that to remind people that if you're not
feeling more loose with
these people,
let our kids maybe play more video games longer or whatever it is, but video games,
buy
more video games,
really
rent some more
that,
movies,
that
let them go outside,
but
let them paint, let them draw, let them go online and watch
a
tour of a museum. I mean, that museum,
and you're not
sorry,
necessarily
my Philly accent.
They
people call me out on that word.
On what?
I have a lot of insecurity around saying that word because of it.
Or you're more
there's so many beautiful things online that are free, tours of different things. So I would say go online, God bless technology,
research,
access to study,
and I hope you do.
And some of those things are more self-reflective. And Google,
and there's a value in that, and that's lost.
Free things for kids, or you have to find the key search words. I don't have them. Don't have
destigmatized
children,
and
I trust that you're able to figure that out. Solitude.
But Google around and find the something resources there
are
right now.
So
everyone,
many,
right?
So many.
Whether
my mom the other day was telling me
that
she was
not, because
watching a museum.
Those of us that are following social distancing rules, and that's when
there's a whole lot of things going on,
I have
like
to kind
that,
of leave out
of film.
So much going on.
So take the pressure off yourself, because right now that's also personal
frustration. You dress it by calling it out
as I'm watching my
don't give yourself
and others be reduced.
The impact of our time together now does count
and
does matter,
but
it is very frustrating.
But
again, I'm so thankful for technology because there's a lot of things
my life and others
that
are
fun. Go wander around outside
because
kids,
they just insist
kids know how to entertain themselves. Don't reinforce
the
idea that
when bored, it's your responsibility.
And birthdays, even
them,
though
know
all these things can be done
but get out the arts and crafts
stuff.
But
if you have
so
the finances, go hit the store and buy some board games.
But those of us that are following the rules,
go old school with it.
We're experiencing a lot of loneliness. And that
now's the time for us to go old school.
You should feel.
I can't tell you how much reading I've been doing.
And so it's not about how many movies I've been watching,
how many walks I've gone on. And in the next segment,
we're going to talk about trying to learn how to sit with it and rethink about it.
There's a lot of things.
Right now, I just want to talk about the fact that we don't necessarily have to get rid of that.
Just also remember, this isn't forever.
And I want us to find the beauty and the value in
things that we're drawing.
Use it as a time to be self-reflective, to be normal, and I think to rest, to nap, to listen to the music you want to listen to,
to learn how to cook and follow recipes, to dance,
and things
to build deeper relationships one-on-one on FaceTime or Skype.
Pay attention, to read, follow the rules,
to watch all the movies really smart, or that series you never got friends to get and family into. And follow.
So when we come back next,
and then when things come back, kind of I don't know, I didn't say
so
that
again.
But we're going to talk about a new perspective and some ways to maybe shave off some of the sharp edges.
There's so much to do.
Listen to Love Line.
Doesn't have to be expensive.
New channel Q.
And let me just land on nature. Outdoors is going to be one of your best friends.
Oh, right.
There's so much to do.
So we're talking about loneliness.
And I was saying the last sun, letting the kids run around.
That I don't want it to be something that we
do what you
got to
do, bring a book, bring some music.
I don't want it to be something that we
Slide in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms,
because it's a big old sexy world.
We want you to explore with confidence.
Question of the night, it's up on our Loveline IG page, so weigh in on that. We'll be breaking that on down.
You are listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and on radio.com.
We're allowed to go through periods of time where we're more self-reflective and introspective, and that does require time alone. And so I am a huge fan of people taking a weekend to themselves. Even if they're a married mother with five kids, if you can find people to take care of your kids for the weekend, go away on your own to the beach, to the mountains, to a staycation down the block, or just out for the day or home for the day. But it's okay to say, today I don't want to be a father or a husband or a friend or an employee. Today I want to just be a solo individual in the world. And if you can, in a very healthy way, set those boundaries, take that time. I do that all the time. Even when I'm in a serious committed relationship, there's days, times, or weekends where I want just to be on my own. And I close my phone off to work and I don't take any work emails or calls. That's a hard boundary I set. Or I'm not, you know, I tell my partner, I'm going to be gone for the weekend. I'll check in or whatever it is. We need that. And there's something beautiful in that. So don't be afraid of that. And so that's what I want people to know. It's not bad or wrong that you're feeling lonely right now. You know, we live in an American culture where we think that we need a quick fix for everything. If I'm sad, I got to get rid of it. If I'm anxious, I got to get rid of it. And what we start doing is we start creating anxiety and fear around these emotions, but they are natural and normal and healthy, and we will all experience them. Now, for some people, it's far larger and they need medication and therapy and they do need to reduce it. But for the bulk of us, it's called life. And I want us to learn how to encounter it. It can't always be get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it. And that's the caveat to this, because I'm going to tell us how we should re-perspective it. And that the first piece is what we just said, is don't pathologize it. It's not bad or wrong. It doesn't mean something bad happens, something's wrong, or something's off. And it could sometimes just be a phase. And again, as I'm sharing really, you know, with a lot of disclosure, is I'll go through phases where I want heightened socialization, and I'll go through phases where I want heightened solitude. And that can bring with it loneliness. Why? Because we're not familiar with it. Because with our phones and technology, we are so hyper-connected that it's rare that we are fully alone or on our own. Because I'm not talking in a literal sense. Remember, our brain, our psychology is very symbolic. It can symbolize. And so even though you might be alone in your home, if you are looking at pictures of someone or on Instagram or texting or talking to them, you symbolically are spending time with them. It doesn't necessarily meet our needs to the depth that real eye contact or touch would, but you are symbolically spending time with them. And so I want us to honor that it's rare that we're alone, even if we're without our technology and in the bathtub. If we're thinking about someone, we are symbolically, again, spending time with them. Now, this is why with grief and loss, I talk to people about the fact that they are no longer someone that might have passed, that they are no longer physically here, but they're very much emotionally and psychologically here and present. That psychologically and emotionally, they haven't gone anywhere, and we can still spend time with them. My father passed a couple years ago, and I still spend a lot of time with him. I still talk to him all the time. I don't believe he's gone. I believe his physical form is gone, but emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually, he's more present than he ever was before. And I spend a lot of time with him, and I talk to him, and he talks back to me, and he's still here. And our culture is afraid of concepts like that, but I don't subscribe to that. I believe we can talk to people that have passed and they are very present. You know, it's just all right. We're like back. And I want to talk about loneliness.
Materialism.
And
we are so it's interesting that we don't,
you know,
believe
I was kind of looking at my own journey the past couple days
and thinking about how we think if I can't
some of us
it,
work
it,
in
smell,
professions,
it, here,
especially those
but
like
remember,
myself that are psychologists
ultra,
and work in
we have colors and sounds that we can't see.
But it's often really hard for us to allow ourselves to sometimes acknowledge and feel certain feelings.
There's so much of the world
when I have those really beautiful kind of humanizing moments. It reminds me that,
and it's there,
has to be even more difficult for a lot of other individuals
until it's been proven.
We walk around with these different labels and identities in the world,
our senses,
and they often come with a lot of expectations about competence and thriving and resilience. And again, that can be very dehumanizing.
And so we have to, because we're all humans first,
whether we're a parent,
loneliness,
or a boss,
we can spend time
or
with
a teacher,
people,
or a therapist, we're still a human first. And we still have a right to feel a full range of human emotions.
And that's not bad or wrong. Let me
say this. And I see this most often in my office with parents. They believe that their job is to be better than certain things, better than certain struggles,
focused on that,
better than certain behaviors, better than certain emotional states.
Don't drop into shame.
And mental health is about feeling all your feelings. And we've talked about toxic positivity, right? Which is the idea that you should always look on the bright side, stay positive. The world is what you create. You're in charge of your thoughts.
About their experience.
Well, that's partly true.
That's one of the biggest,
but we are at the mercy of what is said to us, and we should care what people think and say about us. Otherwise, we become sociopaths and narcissists. It's called empathy, and we are relational beings, and our brains and nervous systems wire, and we do get infected with other people's emotions. That's actually acceptable and healthy, and it's about, you know,
don't
really setting boundaries, seeing and deciding on, you know, the health of the people you're around to mitigate that impact.
Just say, I'm sorry to hear that.
But my larger point is that mental health is to feel all your feelings.
Maybe tell them.
And so I want people to be able to show vulnerability,
not having overcome
as a boss,
because they don't need to overcome
depression,
anxiety, or loneliness
as a
leader. At that functional level,
because
that
shouldn't be seen as you being incompetent or not worthy of trust.
And so I love sharing stories,
and that's something we have to consider and think about, because again, there are some professions and identities that really deny us that capacity.
Eastern philosophy is,
and right now in the COVID pandemic, right, everything's happening within
shopping and live your life.
Everything's a little amplified, and I was sitting again and thinking about loneliness,
sad, go
and
shopping.
How culturally
happy, go
there can
shopping.
Be a little bit of shame.
Again, I'm not
in
talking
acknowledging
about people with clinical depression, right?
And
clinical
we are so hyper focused on
talking about people with functional,
having a group or a squad,
depression and anxiety.
And I'll work with clients that will talk about having
backpack,
been out during the weekend on
like
their own
the
doing something, and they walk by a restaurant
so
or
again,
a bar,
don't shame
and they see
don't
people
be
out
of it.
Together in groups, and they feel shamed by that
as an opportunity.
And often the work with them is on realizing, do they want to be a part of that, or have they been led to believe that they should? Have they been led to believe by themselves or others that that's a better way of being or more
struggling,
fun.
Quote unquote,
because some people are lower level emotions. Social or
there's
more introverted.
And
I
am.
I tend to socialize one-on-one
getting
only.
Getting
larger
rid, and get
groups
rid of
don't
the
allow the
too.
Capacity
when my
for deep relationships
says,
to be built
get rid of the demons,
with each person.
The angels
it's
well.
Just not possible.
When we get
so I prefer and hang out with all my friends one-on-one so I can have deeper intimacy
and
closeness. So I go hiking for dinner, to the movie, to a museum, to theater, to the beach, whatever it is. But I like to go with one, maybe two people so we can have a lot of depth.
All right, question of the night. It's up on our
Loveline
IG page.
The
wait
number,
on that,
the
and then we'll be sliding into those DMs.
Topical,
listen to Loveline with Dr.
Often
Chris.
The new channel
Q
will be. It
radio,
can actually be an intimacy blocker, but we often believe that proximity
right,
and closeness is intimacy, and it's not. And so
question of the night is always up on our Loveline
can
IG
can sometimes provide
story,
a
so
false sense of closeness. But my larger point, and I say that to remind people that if you're not feeling close or deep to these people, that might be why. And try to really build one-to-one relationships with people. That's how you really get that depth.
And more than half of people think
everyone has to
take
do that.
Live sports.
And some people have
look,
that FOMO,
I see
the fear of missing
going
out.
With that right now.
And you're not necessarily
everything
missing out.
They
might go are sometimes
concerts,
missing
out
sports, on
what jobs,
your one-on-one or your more isolative
the continuance
way
of that.
Being.
Some things
provides.
Might never go back
it's
to
just
real time.
Different.
However,
I know for me, I'm a big fan of research and study, and I like reading, and some of those things are more self-reflective
from dehydration.
And there's a value in that, and that's lost sometimes when you're out with others. So again, my point is we need to culturally destigmatize and depathologize loneliness and solitude.
Even though studies have shown
but loneliness
time
is something
online
that's coming up
a
lot right
a
now for
thing.
Everyone,
I love this kind of
right?
Stuff. I love
whether that is normal for them or not. Because
the we get with the status
those of us that are following social distancing
more
rules, and that's what I'm really speaking
world,
to, I have to kind of leave out this conversation
any,
those that aren't following
you know,
rules and regulations.
So I love
I can't.
It's just like a
because right now that's also a personal frustration I have that as I'm watching my own life and others be reduced and set back because of COVID numbers rising, it is very frustrating and disappointing to see people that are making my life and others that are fond the rules lives
yes,
more difficult because they just insist on going
money.
To parties there,
look,
and the beach
I,
and barbecues
I just learned,
and birthdays
like
even though all these things can be done later or next year
just
but
watch
they insist
videos.
And so I'm leaving y'all
them.
Outside of this conversation
and that those people
but those of us that are following the rules
and tons of money and that
we're experiencing
career,
a lot of loneliness
on
this stuff.
And so that your son might be able isn't to pay for pathological. College, you should feel lonely so, right now during you know, this time. And so it's not about how do I not feel
maybe
lonely.
You make his bed
and in the next segment, we're going to talk about ways right, to kind of sit with it and Olympic rethink sport, about it. But right now, I just want to talk about the fact that we don't necessarily have to get rid of that. That is part of what's happening right now.
Because it's not good for mental health.
And I want us to find the beauty and the value in that. Use it as a time to be self-reflective, to journal, to rest, to nap, to listen to the music you want to listen to, to learn how to cook and follow recipes, to dance, to build deeper relationships one-on-one on FaceTime or Skype, to read, to watch all the movies or that series you never got to get into. So when we come back next, I don't know how you even say that, but we're going to talk about a new perspective and some ways to maybe shave off some of the sharp edges of that loneliness. Listening to Love Life, Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and on radio.com.
Good point. I had a younger brother that he had an eating disorder due to being a wrestler trying to make weight. It impacted his mood. He started with depression, anxiety, developed an eating disorder, and still struggles with that. And so I totally appreciate what you're saying. And a lot of gymnasts, yes, they have a lot of eating disorders and also harm and injure their body with overtraining. Yeah, there's a lot of damage. Football. I mean, do you see what happens with broken bones, but more importantly, the head injuries and concussions and the brain damage? And we love watching and supporting that. So I appreciate what you're saying. What's the difference? Either we look out for people's mental health and physical health, and that comes before sports, or it doesn't. But I guess I hear what you're saying. It's an odd line to draw where we're just going to problematize online and not offline. Someone said UC Irvine has a department dedicated to gamers. There was an ESPN doc about it, and everyone on the show seemed okay. Note, yes. That's right. Yessie's fiance Milo is the on-site psychologist for the UC Irvine gaming program. We love Dr. Milo and Yessie from AMP. Shout out to both of them. He's a big fan of online gaming. He's talked about the really beautiful strengths and assets that can come from it. So we had him on the show. We'll have to have him back on talking more about it. But he's on our show. I'm Listening Live. Back then it was called I'm Listening Stay Connected. So check it out. It's on all the radio.com handles, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. And he was our guest more than once. And this was one of the things we talked about. So those that want to go back and kind of deep dive, there it is for you. Check it out. All right, let's see what else people said. Someone said, I feel like there's a mental risk with all sports, so why would gaming be different? Bam! I 100% agree with that. That was my stance as well.
Oh, right. So we're talking about loneliness. Support. And I was saying in the last segment,
race car driving.
I mean, that I don't want it to be something that we fear. Light up in flames.
I don't want it to be something that we desperately avoid. Football.
Because there's a beauty in it. And there's a strength in
cheerleading.
And that socialization is
all sports
beautiful.
Have a risk. I actually
we are
really
socially
wired.
We thrive in
relationships.
But that doesn't mean that has to always be our goal or our priority.
I'm with you on that.
It's really fascinating how we'll run our bodies down in service of introspective. And that does require time alone. And so I am a huge fan of people taking a week into themselves.
Even if they're
$1 billion
a married mother with five kids, if you can find
see,
people
I'm
to
just
take care of your kids for the
I've
weekend,
really
go away on your own,
games, nor,
to the
my
beach,
friends,
to the mountains,
so I wasn't
to
aware.
A staycation like down said, the block,
when I found out that
or
you
just
build
out
an
for the day,
or home for the
app,
day,
or this
but
platform.
It's okay
just
to say, today I don't want to be a father or a husband or a friend or an employee. Today I want to just be a solo individual in the world. And if you can,
I'm more of
a very healthy way, set those boundaries, take that time. I do that all the time. Even when I'm in a serious committed relationship, there's
question of the night for those that are just joining us. In a new study by World of Warships, 56% of people say
esports should be in the Olympics.
Work emails or calls.
I love that. That's a hard
so the question
tonight
was, should esports be an Olympic?
I tell my partner,
even though I'm going to be gone for the
week,
too much check in or whatever it is.
We need
that.
And there's something
else.
Someone
else, and on this one, said, I'm sure there's
that's what I'm
making
people know.
Olympic sport.
It's not bad or wrong.
But how would you even watch people play
in an American culture where we think that we need a quick fix for everything?
I feel sad. I got
to
get rid of it. I'm anxious. I got to get rid of sports.
And what we start doing is,
but they do. There's a huge world of
emotions, but they're natural. Natural and normal
I know,
and healthy,
the
and
things
we
learn.
Experience of them.
But we're not aware
now,
of every,
for some people,
like,
it's far larger than
the
medication
and
therapy,
bank,
and they do need to reduce it. But for the bulk of us, it's called life.
So,
and I want us
like,
to learn
look,
how to encounter
know.
It.
You never know where an entire career
get rid
or
of it,
can
get rid
come
of
from.
It.
Or
and that's the caveat to this. Because
don't knock it, parents. Don't knock it.
Tell us how we should.
All right, coming up next, we're going to be sliding into the DMs.
The first piece is what we just said is don't pathologize.
It's not bad or wrong. It doesn't mean something bad happens, something's wrong, or something's off. And it could sometimes just be a phase.
And again, as I'm sharing really
you know, with a lot of disclosure, is I'll go through phases where I want heightened socialization, and I'll go through phases where I want heightened solitude, and that can bring with it loneliness. Why? Because we're not familiar with it. Because with our phones and technology, we are so hyper connected that it's rare that we are fully alone or on our own. Because I'm not talking in the literal sense. Remember, our brain, our psychology is very symbolic. It can symbolize. And so even though you might be alone in your home, if you are looking at pictures of someone or on Instagram or texting or talking to them, you symbolically are spending time with them. It doesn't necessarily meet our needs to the depth that real eye contact or touch would, but you are symbolically spending time with them. And so I want us to honor that, that it's rare that we're alone. Even if we're without our technology and in the bathtub, if we are thinking about someone, we are symbolically, again, spending time with them. Now, this is why with grief and loss, I talk to people about the fact that they are no longer someone that might have passed or, someone that might have passed, that they are no longer physically here, but they're very much emotionally and psychologically here and present. That psychologically and emotionally, they haven't gone anywhere, and we can still spend time with them. My father passed a couple years ago, and I still spend a lot of time with him. I still talk to him all the time. I don't believe he's gone. I believe his physical form is gone, but emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually, he's more present than he ever was before. And I spend a lot of time with him, and I talk to him, and he talks back to me, and he's still here. And our culture is afraid of concepts like that, but I don't subscribe to that. I believe we can talk to people that have passed, and they are very present. You know, it's just kind of like the fact that, you know, physicality, materialism, we are so obsessed with that, that we don't believe or trust things that are not easily accessed with our five senses. We think if I can't see it, touch it, smell it, or hear it, it's not there. But remember, we have we have colors and sounds that we can't see, but animals can. Or science and technology can show us that they exist. Atoms, there's so much of the world that's swimming around us that we don't have access to with our five senses. And it's there. We can prove it's there, but we don't believe it until it's been proven otherwise, because we only trust what's accessible with our senses. And that will let you down. There's a whole world around you. And the most important things in life aren't things that we can touch or quantify. Things like love and relationality and trust. And so we have to start believing in things that are beyond our five senses. So again, loneliness. We can spend time with people nonetheless. We have to get familiar with it.
Start building in time.
That's a beautiful thing to say, I'm feeling lonely, and that's not bad or wrong. Let me sit in this. What can this provide? What experience does this allow me to have that I can't otherwise when I'm around others, distracted or focused on them? Like, that is stunning. And don't drop into shame.
And also
own it. Talk about it. Because remember, mental health, the more you talk about yours, the more people get familiar hearing it talked about. It normalizes it for them. It also lets them know that they can come to you to talk about their experience. That is stunning. I think that's one of the biggest gifts we can give when we talk about our mental health and our mental health journey, is we say, this is a safe space. This is a safe relationship where that kind of discussion and work can happen, right? So don't shame or pathologize that. When someone comes to you, try to hold that space with them. Don't go into that toxic positivity around their loneliness of, I'm here with you, or it'll be okay, or blah, blah. Just say, I'm sorry to hear that. Tell me more, right? Help them learn how to sit more with it. Maybe tell them stories about you having been lonely, not having overcome it, because we don't need to overcome depression or anxiety or loneliness if it's at that functional level, that normal human level that we're all going to encounter. But it's about knowing that it's allowed to just be there. And so I love sharing stories about dealing with loneliness, depression, anxiety. Again, not overcoming it. It doesn't need to be overcome. It's meant to be carried with us. And this is where Eastern philosophy is stunning. It says, just like when you're in a good mood, you go shopping and live your life. We need to learn how to carry these other moods with us as well. You're sad? Go shopping. You're happy, go shopping. And again, I'm not talking about people with clinical depression or anxiety. I've left that out. I'm talking about people with functional, normal, healthy levels of depression and anxiety. We put them in our backpack, like all the other emotions, and we move forward. So again, don't shame it. Don't be afraid of it. See loneliness as an opportunity. So much can come from that, right? Like I said, that's when I produce my most